So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When I was in high school, we used to, and with Campus Life, our Youth for Christ program, we used to go up to Camp Pinnacle because Camp Pinnacle had a high ropes course. And I remember them having us memorize these verses while we were still on the ground, and saying, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight, or something similar to that, depending on what version you're reading from. And then they would have us go up into the ropes course, 40,000 feet in the air, it felt like, because I have a fear of heights. And I remember you walked up like a ship mast kind of thing. You would go up that, and then you would get on, and there'd be one rope on the where you put your feet, and then there was two where you would hold your hands going that way, so kind of like a V all the way down. And I remember we would get to the middle. We would have harness, and there were people like, you know, making sure we were safe. But I had what I call a death grip on the ropes and kind of had to will myself to pick up my hand, and you could visibly see it shaking. I was so freaked out. And they didn't just do this to me. They did this to every one of us that went through. We get into the middle of this first apparatus, the exercise, whatever they want to call it, this first element. And then they would say, okay, now we want you to do is let go and sit in the harness and have the person that's holding the rope on the other end of the ground kind of hold you and support you. And then we want you to say the verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I remember being up there and they're like, okay, now let go. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, well, do you trust the person holding the rope? Yeah, I trust the person. You've seen other people do this, other peers. Yeah, I saw them do it, but no. But you know, the harness will hold you. That you trust the person. You said that, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do this. You come up and you do this. Like, I just did not want to do this. Eventually, they got me to let go, and I'm sitting in the harness, kind of like, part of my body is like at the bottom where my feet are. And they're trying to say, okay, now say the verse. I don't remember what the verse, I'm freaking out. I don't remember. So I don't know if I said it or not, but I remember getting back on and completing the course and never wanting to do it again, but I did. But it was interesting. Intellectually, I knew I could trust the person on the ground. Intellectually, I knew I could trust the harness. I could trust the elements that they had in the trees. But when it came to actually feeling like I trusted, it just didn't happen. I was sitting in the harness, right? The person holding the other end of the rope through all the systems, they had me. I wasn't going anywhere. And though I was sitting, dangling in the sky, I didn't trust. I was going through the motion of acting like I trusted, but internally I was not trusting. I was freaking out. So I wanted to take a look at what does it mean to trust? I think it's more than just behavior. It's something in our heart and in our minds. I remember when I was running Campus Life with the high school and middle school kids, every September as we started the new school year, we would do a meeting on the topic of trust for a couple weeks. Because we knew if we could get the kids to trust God, that was one of the first steps to help them put their faith in him. More than just, yeah, I believe in God, but what does it mean to trust God? And we would spend a little bit of time. And every year we would talk about where we put our trust. Like, we put our trust in people. Right, we all thought there were going to be some other people here this morning, so we showed up. We trusted that our cars were going to get us here. Maybe a little shaky, like me in the harness. Maybe we weren't sure. I remember driving those cars. But we were pretty confident we were going to get here. As we walked up the steps and into the building, we're trusting now that the pews are going to hold us, the ceiling's going to stay up. Like, we put our trust in things. George, don't do that. George gave me a look. What? So we put our trust in people. We put our trust in things, physical things around us. We put our trust in what we listen to, like where we get our news, or whether a newspaper or a podcast or something on TV, the radio. We put our trust in people and things all the time. The things that we learn, the things that we read, we put our trust in the words of the scripture. So we're engaging trust socially and physically and mentally and also spiritually. And the kids would understand that all the different areas, but they had a hard time saying, how do we trust God? And so we would have a conversation, and sometimes we'd have them write down, okay, so why is it hard for people to trust God? Why is it hard for you or maybe your friends to put their trust in God? And they would come up with a list. And then us leaders, we would look at the list and we would prepare and give answers the following week. And here are some of the things that they would consistently put down for reasons why they or their peers don't trust God. They say, I can't see God. We can't see God, so he's hard to trust because we can't see him. They think God is going to make their life boring. Oh, if I become a Christian, then all my fun disappears. They think, I'm not going to put my trust in God because I tried that. I prayed for something and it didn't turn out the way I wanted. A lot of times it was around a loved one that had passed away, and they had prayed that grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or a sibling wouldn't die, and then they did. So God's not there for me, so I don't believe in God. I don't trust him. And similar to that, bad things happen to good people. We don't understand why, if God is good and God is loving, why do bad things happen to people that I care about and to myself? They are taught that God is not real. They don't trust God because they don't really know who God is, would be an answer. That usually is from one of the Christian kids. They associate God as a human being, and since human beings can't be trusted, God can't be trusted. And then others would say, I just don't want to give up control. I don't want to surrender my life. That's why I don't want to trust God, because I want to live my life my way. So why do we trust God? Why do we gather on a Sunday morning to sing worship songs, to pray, to listen to sermons? Why do we gather and worship this God? I think one reason why we do that is because we know that we trust in God because he is true. In Psalm 115, verses 3 through 8, it says, our God is in the heavens and he does all that he pleases. And then verse 4 through 8 talks about how the people would follow false gods or idols and would say their gods, their idols, are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears and do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but they do not walk. They do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. So we can put our trust in God because he is real. He's not some thing made up in our imagination. I didn't create the God that we worship. You did not create the God that we worship. God is God, and he is real. We trust in him because God is truthful. In Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, God is not man that he should lie, or son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? God is true. God is truthful. And we trust in God because he is faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, it says, if we are faithless, he, referring to God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord. So these are all the reasons why we should trust in the Lord. And then it goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I think of the account of King Saul, right? The first king of Israel. He's been king for a year or two, and they're fighting the Philistines, right? They're always fighting the Philistines. The Philistines are always going after them. And Saul has a mini victory. He and his son Jonathan, they fight back against the Philistines, and they have victory. And then the Philistines come, and they come with this massive army. And the Israelites are scared out of their minds, and they're running away from Saul, and they're hiding in caves, and they're deserting Saul and his people. And Samuel the prophet had said, hey, before you go to war, I'm going to come wait like 7 days, I'll show up, and then I'll do an offering to the Lord, and then we'll go to battle. And because everybody was scattering, Saul decided, instead of trusting in God and waiting for his timing, he said, I'm just going to offer the sacrifice because Samuel's late and people are deserting me. And then Samuel, of course, shows up. And as they dialogue back and forth, and Saul's giving all these false reasons why he disobeyed, blaming the people, blaming the fear, blaming the circumstances, and not just saying, I just had a hard time trusting, and so I went and did something wrong. Samuel said, because you do not follow God with all your heart, God's going to find someone new that does follow God with your whole heart. And we know that king was David. And David said he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, David made mistakes, but David would already repent. Where when Saul made a mistake, he came up with excuses. So when I think of trusting in the Lord with all of my heart, I think of a bad example like Saul to help me see myself there. And I also can think of David, though not perfect, how his heart always turned towards God, a positive example of what it means to trust God with all my heart. Later on in verse 5, it says, and lean not on your own understanding. And I think of another event that took place in the Old Testament in the book of Judges in chapter 7, and Gideon being one of the judges, right? God picks him to help fight back against the Midians who are oppressing them. And he had 32,000 men to come out to fight the Midians. And God said, that's too many. Tell your army, if anybody is afraid, go home. 22,000 soldiers left, and he was left with 10,000. And Gideon is told by God, you still have too many to fight the Midianites. And so have them go down to the water, and I'll tell you which group stays and which group goes. And so we know that the 300 that kind of picked up the water with their hands and be able to keep their spear or their weapon and then kind of lapped it like a dog, he said, those are the ones that are going to stay, 300. So it went from 32,000 down to 300. Talk about a drop in attendance, right? Right? So like, hey, what is God going to do? We're a small number. There's this vast army in front of us, and you want us to go after them with 300 men? But it gets more crazy, right? If you remember the story, God says, Gideon's like, he's nervous. And so God says, well, go down to the camp and listen in. You're going to hear some encouraging words. And the Midianites, some of them had a dream where Gideon and his men take them out. And so it gives Gideon a little bit of confidence. Goes, okay, they're scared. I don't understand why, but they're scared. And so God says, all right, now here's your battle plan, right? Surround the valley in the hills. And take your trumpet, take a torch, but put a pot over it. Where are our weapons, Lord? What are we going to fight with? God said, don't worry about it. Surround them, your 300 men. When you blow the trumpets, break the clay pots to reveal the torches, the light. And then that confusion of them shouting and the lights and the Midianites scattered. And the Israelites technically won, right? God did all the work. That, if God had said, Gideon, here's what I want you to do, which he did, Gideon had to put his trust in God because the battle plan didn't make sense for a warrior. Sometimes God puts us into positions where the circumstances around us don't make sense. But God is going to show himself through the challenge that are in front of our eyes. He says, put your trust in me. Follow my plan for you. So when do not lean on our own understanding, we need to put our trust in God and ask him to show us what he wants us to do. In Proverbs 3:6, it says, to trust is to acknowledge God in everything. It's in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight your paths. Acknowledging God means knowing God wherever we are and whatever we are doing. This does not just mean that we have an intellectual understanding of who God is, but the fact that we can identify his character and his will in every moment of life. If we dedicate ourselves to trusting and seeking God in all circumstances, are we then to believe that everything will be easy? Absolutely not. So, what's the reason for that? We have an enemy in this world, and his name is Satan. He does not want us to be on God's side. He wants us to be on the side of this broken, desperate world that we live in. And so he tries to tempt us, just like he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And then Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." When we choose to stand firm and trust in Jesus, what can we expect? We can expect that our journey will ultimately lead us to our Heavenly Father, and we will not be shaken when trials and storms in this life come our way. So when should we put our trust in God? We should trust in Him in all times, whether good or bad season. Much more when we're going through trials and tribulations. Isaiah 26:4 says, "Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock." When storms assail, we remember Mark 4:39, "Trust in the God who the winds and the sea obey when he rebukes the storms and says, 'Peace, be still.'" When you are at the end of your rope and you don't know what to do next, trust in the God whose eyes run to and fro through the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. When we're feeling lonely and alone, we trust in the God who says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And when we're at a crossroads and we don't know which way to turn, Isaiah 30:21 says, "Trust in the God who says, 'And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left.'" We should always put our trust in God. Think the greatest example of a reason why we can trust in God is because of Jesus. Jesus loved us so much that he died for our sins. He conquered the penalty of sin, which is death. And he rose again, defeating death. He died so that we could live. He lives so that we can live. Jesus referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. He tells us that he came to seek and save the lost. In Luke chapter 15, we get three different pictures of God through Jesus. So Jesus compares himself to a shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to go after the one that's gone astray. He compares himself to a woman who has lost a coin and searches throughout the house and then celebrates when she finds it. To a father whose son has gone away and has rejected the faith. And the father scans the horizon, waiting for his son to return, and then rejoices when he does. Jesus is pursuing us. He was pursuing us before we said yes to following him and accepting his salvation, that free gift. And he continues to pursue us as we try to live out our faith throughout our days. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." My prayer for us is that we would be like that tree planted firmly and deeply, that we would put our trust in the Lord when things are going the way we hoped and when things aren't going the way we hoped. Where are you? Are you living with that peace that passes under our understanding? When things aren't going the right way, are you in a position, are you close enough to God through Jesus, where you have his peace amidst the storm? When the way forward seems dark and you're not sure which way to go? God calls us to put our trust in him, to lean deeper into him and his ways. He calls us to not only trust him, but he calls us to trust each other, that we don't do this life alone, that we do this together. We continue coming together. We continue to rely on each other as we rely on the Lord. That is my prayer for me, and that is my prayer for you, that we would lean in towards each other as we follow Christ. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the many examples that we have of what it means to put our trust fully in you. In Jesus' name, amen.